Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, you're with us. I'm so happy. Yay. All right, we've got a great show for you today. Really, seriously. But first, I've got to give you the tee times, or should I give you the weather forecast to see whether or not you want to get a tee time? Here we go. We're doing the weather. Partly sunny. That's an improvement. Partly sunny. Okay, on Kauai, a slight chance of thunderstorms in the morning, scattered showers through the day. Oahu and Maui County, scattered showers. The high, 78 to 83. The winds, they're still, you know, iffy. Not out of the south, but they're variable to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, I thought it'd be better than this. Mostly cloudy, windward mocha, scattered showers. High between 80 and 85. And the easterlies,
yeah,
15 to 20 miles per hour. I'll take just about anything but the south wind for a while. Partly sunny on the Big Island. Windward, isolated showers through the day. Leeward, isolated showers in the morning. Scattered showers in the afternoon. It's raining with a little bit of blue sky in between. Our tee times for you at Volcano on the Big Island. There's an 8:32, a 9:24, a 10:48. Makalei, also on the Big Island, 8:42, 9:28, 10:10. Going to Kauai, where, you I don't know, thunderstorms, you know. Poipu has a 9:20, a 10:10, and a 12:10. And Kauai Lagoons, 10:02, 11:38. The vacationers, they're out on the course today. Of course they are. You wouldn't come to Hawaii on vacation and say, it's raining, I'm not going to go play golf. Here on Oahu, Perla, Kalaau, 8:52, 9:50, 10:26. Hawaii Kai, 8:36, 10:10, 11:08. Turtle Bay, 9:20, 10:30, 12 o'clock. Hey, is it the sand dollars? Are you out on the golf course today? Careful now. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has an 8:30, a 9:40, and a 10:50. Eva Beach Golf Course has a 9 o'clock, a 10:18, and 11:48. Bayview, 8:52, 10:08. And now let's go to Maui. On Maui, at Wailea, on the Gold Course, between 8:30 and 10 o'clock, wide open. Then there's an 11 o'clock. Then it's wide open for a while. But give them a call. Emerald, 9:10, 9:30, 12:40. And on the Blue Course, between 8:30 and 10:20, pretty much wide open. And 11:20 is also open. Kamaaina after 10? After 10. Is that when we have to go play golf? It's after 10, so we can, after, you know, the night before, after 10. Okay, and then we also have on Maui Nui, excuse me, I don't have Maui Nui's today. I apologize. But nurses at the ready are also at the ready on Maui. All right. I've got senior writer Sports Illustrated Bob Bupka in the house after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club, brought to you by Pacific Repair Services, located at 540 Lagoon Drive across from JN Motors. PRS does appliance repairs, maintenance, and sales. The Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before your round or wind down after work. The Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your kids to play golf. The game that lasts forever. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips in Evilé next to Costco Gas and in Waipahu. And teaching pro Claude Brousseau at the Wailea Golf Academy, Maui. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Here he is, senior golf writer, Sports Illustrated, member of the Golf Writers Association of America, Bob Herrig, golf writer. He writes for Sports Illustrated. I think I mentioned that. And previously worked at ESPN, Tampa Bay Times. But, you know, he got his first exposure to golf as a caddy in the Chicago suburbs, where he earned an Evans Scholarship and attended Indiana University. I think that is so cool, Bob. Are you?
Yeah, it's kind of a neat thing about how your career path goes. Who would have ever thought, right? But yeah, my exposure to golf was through caddying, and you know, those days were great. That was an amazing time to be able to learn the game that way.
Oh, yeah, but let me ask you, how did you learn to be a caddy to tell somebody who's playing what to do?
Yeah, well, in the beginning, I was just learning the game. I was 12 or 13 years old, and I was just sort of, you know, anybody who I would have been caddying for would have been sort of looking after me, because I wasn't helping them much. You know, I was just carrying the club.
Wow.
And but you know, you learn golf etiquette, you learn the rules. Obviously, you know, people who take caddies today, I still think, you know, highly of, because the game is so geared for golf carts now. You know, it's a revenue source for clubs and courses.
Sure.
A lot of courses aren't really designed for walking anymore. There's such long distances between greens and tees. So places that have it, it's, you know, it's really special. And, you know, it's a great way to learn. I mean, I remember them teaching us how to caddy, you know, teaching us the rules. There was a little booklet that I think is still around. It's called Pinpointers.
Wow.
And that it had all the little things that you needed to do as a caddy, you know, to where to put the clubs, you know, how to carry the bag, how to clean a golf ball, how to rake a bunker, how to tend a flag stick, how to not stand in somebody's line.
Yeah.
All these things, you know. And then, you know, as you get better at it, I did it for a long time. I got to know certain golfers at the club where I caddied. I knew their game, and I could probably be pretty helpful to them. Wow. I could help them club, or I could help them read putts. But that was not how it was when I was about 13. It took a little while.
Yeah.
And and you know, and I grew into it. I did it all through high school into college,
hey.
You know, there's sometimes I wish I could just go back and do that. That would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, with an Evans scholarship in your hands and Indiana University, wow. It's amazing what golf can do for people. You know, there's so many different avenues that golf goes down. And it's wonderful just to get into the game. You don't have to be great at the game. I think a lot of people think, I'll never get good at this. Yeah, about 98% of the people who play golf never get really good at it. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's being together that is so important. And speaking of books, what was that book's name again?
It was called Pinpointers.
Pinpointers. I think we should all have that in our little mitts one day. Okay, Pinpointers. But speaking of books, Bob Herrig has written Drive, the lasting legacy of Tiger Woods, and Tiger and Phil, golf's most fascinating rivalry. And what I love is it's about their squabbles, their duels, their softening toward each other, their excellence, their disappointments. These are still available, right?
They are. And since you brought it up, I got another one that's coming out in the spring called Tiger v. Jack, Golf's Great Debate. And so I sort of try to tackle the issue of, while celebrating both of their careers, you know, maybe who's the greatest.
Yeah.
So that's coming out in the spring. I've pretty much filled myself on that the last year. And I hope people find that to be interesting, too, because obviously, you know, Jack has the most majors. But Tiger's career compared to his is pretty special. And so I tried to get into all facets of that.
Fantastic. Well, you know, a lot of folks haven't started their holiday shopping. And I think if you know a golfer, Drive, the Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods, or Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry, would be a really good thing to put under the tree for the person that you know who plays golf. It's a really good idea. Now, I'm fascinated with... about their squabbles, can you kind of like enlighten us a little bit without giving it all away, but tell us a little bit about Tiger and, and Phil squabbling?
Yeah, I mean, look, for the majority of their careers, they didn't get along. I would say they probably don't get along at all right now. And that's sort of the irony of, you know, when I was completing that book, they were on the path to sort of peace. You know, they were at the point in their careers where they weren't going to be going head to head anymore and they could appreciate each other more.
Yeah.
And obviously the whole live golf thing changed that. You know, they played in a Ryder Cup together back in 2004, and it didn't go very well. You know, there was a time when Tiger just didn't think very highly of Phil. He just thought that he was wasting his talent. And, you know, it's hard to believe, but it's true. And Tiger had eight majors before Phil had won, you know, and Phil turned pro before Tiger did. And Phil was incredibly good. And yet he got dwarfed by Tiger early on. And that had to be tough.
Yeah.
You know, because I think Phil had won 9 or 10 times on tour before Tiger turned pro. And then all of a sudden, here comes this guy who's 4 or 5 years younger and whisks by him and not only starts winning all the time, but starts racking up majors when Phil wasn't able to win any. Now, Phil obviously found his way. He won a few at Tiger's expense, started to get better at it. It's amazing to think of, but Phil has won a major later than Tiger. He won at 50, you know, after 2 years after Tiger won the Masters. So, you know, the back and forth, the juxtaposition, I mean, Phil was an incredible prodigy, just like we all think of Tiger that way, but Phil was too. Phil won a tour event as an amateur. Tiger didn't sniff that, you know. So there's just a lot of, I think, interesting aspects to their, in terms of the rivalry. I think where it comes up a little short is they just did not go head to head very often. It's a shame that they didn't.
Yeah,
you know, because when they did, it was amazing theater.
Yeah.
You know, there you know, Phil got better because he knew he had to. And Tiger brought that out of him. And I think as it went on, there was a grudging respect from Tiger for Phil. And they were friendlier until obviously the whole thing with LIV Golf, which they are clearly on opposite sides of that issue.
Yeah, and you know, when you were writing for Sports Illustrated, I was going through some of the columns that you wrote, and one of them is about LIV and LIV getting some recognition. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with that.
If you're talking about the most recent stuff,
yes, yes,
you know, they've been trying to get official world golf ranking accreditation,
yes,
since they started. In 2022, and really, if you take a wide look at it, what they were trying to do then was unrealistic, and it caused a lot of angst. They caused themselves a lot of grief. There's just been a lot of rancor about it. They weren't going to get accredited right away, no matter whether they were disruptive or not. And now things have calmed down a little bit. There's been some leadership changes at OWGR. I think there's a sense in the game that having a bunch of players on LIV who are really, really good players, not getting any points is not good, you know? And while their format has made that a challenge, I think they're trying to work through it. And so I was at the PNC yesterday where that, you know, the event where a major champion plays with a family member, and Trevor Immelman's playing in it. He's no more now for being on CBS, but he's also the chairman of the OWGR board. He doesn't have a vote, but he's not really talked about it that much. And he did yesterday.
Oh,
and he talked about how, you know, they're working through it. They're trying to help them at LIV do the things that they feel would help them comply. And, you know, the biggest thing that they miss that every other tour in the world has, and there's something like 25 accredited tours, is the lack of meritocracy, the lack of player pathways and the ability to move on to the tour. I mean, in theory, you and I could try to qualify for the PGA Tour Americas, the Korn Ferry Tour, the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, the Sunshine Tour, the Australasian Tour. They all have a way in.
Yeah.
LIV has one promotions event with two spots. Every other player on their tour is basically handpicked. You know, they're also going to have two from the international series. Well, how do you get onto the international series? You need to be on the Asian Tour. And also, a lot of guys who play for LIV are gifted spots in the international series. So the point is they have not had enough ability to allow people to get onto their tour outside of being someone that's handpicked. And I think they're trying to get them to change that at least slowly. And maybe we'll see if they get accredited coming up here in 26. That's the big mystery. Will they do enough to get those points, which will really help their players? Like,
yeah.
Joaquin Niemann, I looked it up yesterday. He's 139th in OWGR. I mean, but he won five times on LIV this past year. I mean, that's not nothing.
No, that's great.
He would clearly be in the top 20 in the world if those wins counted. You know, and that's, you know, and so for their younger players, getting OWGR is huge. It's your path into the majors. And they're kind of stymied there right now. And I'm not sure their strategy at going about it 3 or 4 years ago was the right one. And here we are at this point, and they're still not getting OWGR points.
That's wrong. It's wrong. They need to change their format. I mean, I'm surprised they're still going, you know, that they still have the players in there. I guess there's enough money to keep people there. Is that it?
Well, sure. I mean, that's the thing. You're playing for $20 million purses every week with no cut. It's a pretty lucrative gig.
Yeah.
You know, and there's been, you know, obviously they have this team thing. There's team money, there's salaries. I mean, it's a pretty nice life, you know, over there. But if you want to play outside of LIV and you want to get into the biggest tournaments, it's a struggle. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the guys who've won majors like John Rahm and Bryson, Cam Smith, they're okay for a few years. A guy like Tyrrell Hatton has to really play his tail off outside of LIV. He's 20th in the world, by the way, getting no points playing for LIV. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is.
It's because he's played decently in the majors and he's played decently in the DP World Tour. But, you know, if he has a bad year, not having won a major, he's going to be out of them. And that's why they need to get the points. And there's probably some tweaks that they could have made that would easily appease the OWGR that they've neglected. And it sounds to me like maybe they're on board with doing some of those things now.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, we're going to switch gears. We're going to go to the one and only Scottie Scheffler, who won the 2025 Player of the Year Award. And as I was reading your column in Sports Illustrated, to the surprise of many, what happened to Rory McIlroy? Is that a controversy now?
Well, the thing is that that's a PGA Tour award, not like a Player of the Year overall award. I mean, I could make an argument for Rory overall because Rory won four times worldwide. And one of those was on the DP World Tour, the Irish Open. He also had a big role at the Ryder Cup.
Mm.
You know, he won the DP World Tour's Order of Merit. But those things don't matter in the PGA Tour vote. And, you know, there, Scotty wins two majors. He won six times to three for Rory. You know, two majors to one.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty easy to see why Scheffler got it. For the fourth straight year, by the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, but if you were to do an overall award, I think Rory has an argument. It's still those six wins to four, two majors to one. Obviously, Rory won the Players also. You know, but how much credit do you give him for the Ryder Cup? How much credit do you give him for winning the DP World Tour season-long title? You know, those are things that I think narrow the gap a little bit. And if somebody wanted to vote for Rory in that regard, like the Golf Writers, we have a male player of the year. It's not a PGA Tour player of the year. I would think Rory's going to get some. He's going to get some love in that contest.
Awesome, good, because you know he's Rory McIlroy. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, Rory McIlroy is the closest exciting player to Tiger Woods that I can think of at this moment. Scottie Scheffler, Tiger Woods. It's so interesting because Scottie Scheffler is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But Tiger Woods had this flair about him. You know, you were glued to watch what he was going to do next. And I don't know anyone who has that je ne sais quoi, you know, that attraction, that flair that Tiger has,
yeah.
You know, it's really interesting to see somebody who's so closed off when you want to talk to him, who is so out there and showy when he's on the stage of golf. It's interesting.
No question. And, you know, Rory is way more flamboyant that way.
Mm,
I think that's why people are drawn to him. You know, the way he won the Masters. Scottie's won four majors and really didn't have much drama coming down the last couple holes to win them.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't the case with Rory. You know, I mean, he threw up all over himself on that back nine at Augusta. You know, he had it, and then he didn't have it, and then he had it, and then he didn't have it again, and then he won it in the playoff. I mean, it was so typical of the way Rory is to win that way. It wasn't going to be easy. Scottie, I know it's not easy, but he's made it look easy. You know, his majors have been won where he comes to 18 with a lead, two or three shots.
Yeah.
You know, I think we knew the last four holes at Royal Portrush, he was going to win the Open. You know, guys made mistakes down the stretch of the PGA Championship, and he had a kind of a pretty easy finish, you know. And that's not knocking him. I mean, that happened to Tiger a lot, too. You know, Tiger watched other guys melt down. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, one time Scottie gets in the mix and it's, you know, he's a shot or two behind going to 17 or he's tied. And if somebody can put some pressure on him because I think that's been the thing that's been lacking. You know, he hasn't had that. And I'm not saying it's easy, but it's easier.
Easier.
He hasn't had that.
There you go. Scottie Scheffler has been on an amazing run since capturing his first PGA Tour title in 2022. Winning a total of four major championships. I'm reading Bob Herrig's column. Two player championships and 19 PGA Tour titles overall. That puts him 40th all time and tied with the likes of Ben Crenshaw, Tom Kite, Ernie Els, Hubert Green. He has now won the player honor 2022, 23, 24, 25. Wow. You know, Woods got 11, winning in five straight years from 1999 through 2003. And I'm running out of time. I have so much fun talking to you. Where have you been?
trying to be not seen, really. Ever since the Ryder Cup, things slowed down a good bit. So
yes, you need to be on the show more often. I just have to ask, you know, we have about, I don't know, 2 minutes max. What is Tiger doing? 20 tournaments, no tournaments in Hawaii. Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, you know, it's probably a longer discussion for us to have
okay.
at some point.
Yes, please.
Maybe in the first of the year, but I mean,
yes.
what we're seeing is the possibility of contraction on the PGA Tour, and what the competing interests are the tour has always been about playing opportunities for its members as a whole, and obviously generating charity dollars for all these communities. And now I think what's happening is it's shifted to way more of a commercial enterprise, you know, like what's better for the commercial product. Like having 40 some odd tournaments is probably not best for the commercial product. You know, fans don't get a chance to miss golf. You can make the argument that there's too much golf.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so now they're shifting the other way towards a model that's more competitive, that's more commercially viable, probably for TV and rights holders, and that's geared to the stars. You know, let's be honest, that's what's sort of come out of the whole LIV Golf thing, is they are trying to take care of their stars and make sure that they play together more often because they believe that's the product. And, you know, the sort of, you know, the damage to on this is that I think we're going to see some really good tournaments go away. And in the case of the Sony Open, which I believe has been played since 1965 in some form at Wailea.
Yeah.
You know, like they're talking about starting in February. Well, so that would kind of ace out Hawaii. And unless you can bring it back in the fall, I mean, that's really tough. I mean, and it's not just them. It's you know, the Palm Springs is in danger. Torrey Pines.
Whoa.
Other tournaments like the old Honda Classic, you know, there's going to be tournaments on the schedule that if they're going to contract, you know, who do you get rid of? I mean, it sounds like they want to go to bigger markets, that they you know, so that does that hurt the John Deere's of the world, which is a really great local small community event, you know, that's been very successful. But it's not maybe the marquee event that attracts all the top players. So this is tough. I mean, you know, it doesn't help that Sony's last year of sponsorship is 26. And so,
yes,
you know, it makes it easy for them to move on from them.
Yeah.
It's kind of cold, though, I have to say. I mean, you've got a lot of markets that have been really, really good for golf. And, you know, down the road here, 27, 28 time frame, it's possible that some of them are gone. And, you know, is that going to be better? I don't know. We have to see, but I'm not so sure.
Me neither. Wonderful talking with you. I look forward to talking with you soon, like in January, okay?
Sounds great. I'm happy to.
Thank you very much. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, Sports Illustrated. And, yeah, you know what? I don't know where... Rest his soul. You know, it was just one of those moments out of the blue. Danielle says something very strange. Bob Bupka, who has passed and is a wonderful person who was on the show many times. It's Bob Herrig. Okay. Senior writer, Sports Illustrator, member of the Golf Writers Association of America. You're the best. Aloha, Bob.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. We'll be back after this. Claude Brousseau is going to give us some lessons about just how we can improve our game. Maybe not get, you know, to be like Tiger Woods, but at least get better. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Hey, you know, it's not over. No, it's Aloha Power's week-long again steel sale. It's not over. It's time to go shopping. Yes, because a tool under the Christmas tree or the whatever tree is a wonderful thing. It's time to retire the big box tools, and steel is on sale up to 25% off. riding and walking mowers, chainsaws, whackers, trimmers, and a whole lot more. We have service, we have parts, accessories for every rider. And from home to commercial size, you mow it, you blow it, you bag it, and you're done. And you don't feel half as exhausted as you would if you didn't have that. Get what you need. You need it. And it's at Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Claude Brousseau, PGA Master Director of Player Development, Wailea, is ranked number one from 2019 through 2025 best teachers in the state of Hawaii by Golf Digest. He's still on the list, 2026 through 2027, best teachers in every state by Golf Digest. Golf Magazine, 2026, 2027, teachers to watch. Golf Instructions, rising stars. And just received this award on November 1st, 2025. Only teacher in the state of Hawaii to be selected on the list. And there are 52 teachers to watch. Welcome into the clubhouse, Director of Player Development at Wailea, Claude Brousseau.
Good morning, Danielle. Thank you so very much for having me on your show.
Wow, it's absolutely wonderful having you, because I know that we can learn a whole lot. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the Wailea golf courses, the blue, the emerald, the gold. And we always give out tee times for Wailea and those three golf courses. Now, which one was a starter, a person just starting out in the game or having a little bit of experience? Which course would you suggest?
I would suggest the Emerald. The Emerald course is a very friendly golf course. It's also the most requested one because of the views, and it was voted, best destination, like the top 50 best golf trip destination for women in 2024, and obviously it's good for everybody. It's a little bit shorter than the Gold, and not so penalizing, I will say, if you miss a shot. So I would recommend the Emerald.
The Emerald course. Okay, that number one, set the tone for the day with a downhill par four toward the ocean.
So, yes, Danielle, the views are just spectacular.
Okay.
And you listener, if they want, we have a live camera. So you can go at waleagolf.com and then you click live camera. And then you will see that the views are like I'm talking to you. I'm looking outside right now.
Yes.
It's magnificent.
Yeah. And special feature, you can shared green on number 10 and number 17. What is the shared green?
Shared green means for your listener, Danielle, is that the green is really, really big. But it also, it's been used when you play number 10. Okay, there is a hole for number 10, and then it's a continuous green, but with a big bump that separate. If you play number 17, you would shoot towards that same green.
Ah.
So that's what I mean by a shared green. So sometimes funny thing can happen. People will confuse the green, the flag for 10 for the 17 or vice versa. But it's a rare feature in golf that two holes share the same green.
Wow. So, yeah, and in 1994, the Emerald Course and the Gold Course, par 72s, 18 holes, Robert Trent Jones Jr. Fantastic.
Yes, they're very nice courses, and the beauty of it also, Danielle, is that there is no homes or condo or hotel around the courses. It's just the beauty of Maui.
Wow.
You know, on one side you got Haleakala, and on the other side you got the ocean. You can see Molokini, you know, that little croissant-shaped island there where a lot of snorkeling gone there. You can see Lanai. You can see Kahualabe. So it's just a magnificent place to play golf and enjoy the beauty of Hawaii.
Wow. You know, and I was just reading some of the notes that you sent me, and I didn't realize that all three courses, the Gold, the Emerald, and all of a sudden, the one, which is the Emerald, the Gold, and what's the third course?
Blue.
The blue course. They're all, are they all fed by non-drinkable water? So that
That's correct, Danielle. We're very, very conscientious here, you know, at the protecting the nature and all that, and not wasting water. So we have wells on the property, and then it's really not drinkable water that we use to irrigate and the courses. And the blue is a great course as well. It's a little bit shorter. The challenge on the blue is the greens are undulated and very fast.
Oh.
And then the blue, well, it has a history of, you know, golf tournament as well. So the blue was hosting in 1990. Through 92, they were hosting the LPGA Women Kemper Open.
Yeah. And there was also the Senior Skins, wasn't it played?
Yes, correct, Danielle. So the Senior Skins was played on the gold course.
I wish they'd come back. Yeah, that would be cool. I liked that was a lot of fun. I didn't go to Maui necessarily, but I saw it on television,
mm-hmm.
and it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yes.
Now, I promised that we'd help people, and quick tips to play better golf seems like a good place to start. The decision-making process that one goes through you're trying to figure out whether you're going to, am I taking the right club?
Yes.
Help.
That's part of it, Danielle. But there is a process in golf, and then the more systematic you are with your process, it will help you to take the right decision. Because scoring in golf, let's say if you play for, you can play for fun and not even keeping score, that's fine too. But let's say you want to score, it has a lot to do with a repeatable swing. I didn't say a perfect swing. You wouldn't miss shot. You just want your misses not be too wild, I will call that. But if you have a process to make your decision, your mind will be at the task at hand. So let's go over the process. So the first is the golfer, for every shot, has to assess the lie of the ball. So that means where's the ball sitting on the grass? There is a premium, obviously, to be in the fairway. So then if you're in the rough, how deep in the rough? So I will call that first, assess the lie of the ball. Second, you have to assess the distance you need the ball to go at. Okay? You cannot just walk at the ball and swing and hope. You know, that's not a good decision process or even a strategy.
Right.
So the golfer has to be aware of the difference between what we call carry distance versus total distance. Let's go over that a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So carry means how far the ball will travel in the air from, I call that, point A to point B where the ball touches the ground. So we call that carry. So if you, when you listen golf on TV, the caddy and the player will say, okay, to cover the bunker, so that means carry, let's say, the bunker in front of the green, you need to carry the ball in the air, as an example, 115 yards. The total distance is the ball can roll after that, okay? So let's resume. Assess the lie. What is the total distance? What trajectory do you need with that ball? Do you need a higher trajectory? Do you need just a normal trajectory? Do you need lower? Then after you listen, you know, you make a decision on those three things, now it's time to pick the club. Most of the golfers pick the club first.
Yeah.
So they don't answer the first three things I said before selecting the club. So lie, total distance, trajectory, then you select the club.
Excellent.
After that, if you choose to, you will rehearse a swing or you do a practice swing, correct? And then the key on that practice swing is not be technical. Let me repeat, not be technical. What you want to do with that swing, Daniel, is you want to just get in the rhythm, the tempo, and in your body, in mind, you just want to relive the experience of the best shot you ever did with that club in your hand.
Cool.
That's what the purpose of the practice swing is that.
Excellent.
You wanted to say something on that?
No, I think that's fabulous what you just explained to everybody. You know, rehearse and
okay.
Yes, thank you.
Then after that, then it's set up, okay? Now, that means you place the club first, you aim the club face where you want to go, and then you align the body, the golfer, in relation with the club face. And then now it's execution time, not thinking time. You're an athlete that swing a club with the clear intention of making the ball towards the target. And in your mind, you swing like if there were no consequence on the outcome. Then this is the process. Then I call that copy and paste and repeat on the next shot.
I like that. Copy and paste and repeat on the next shot. A lot of people, when they have their first experience with a golf club, they find that the shaft going into the club and the face, it's all at the wrong angle. You know, they want it to be straight or like right adjacent to the ball. But this has this strange little feel to it. Do you know
yes.
What I mean? Yes. How do you
yes,
get
Daniel.
Over? How do you
because,
get over that?
Because, go ahead.
No. How do you get over that? You know, what do you do?
Okay. So basically, with your PGA Pro or LPGA coach, you have to understand when the club is on the ground, let's say in front of you, the way you hold it, you need to know how it's supposed to look like. So if you have a reference of how it's supposed to look like, it's easier to do it. There's a lot of misconception out there. As an example, Daniel, new golfer, and we all started beginners, so let's say many golfers think that the driver head has to be flat. Like when they look at the top of their driver, Daniel, they think it needs to be flat. When they do that, their hands get really, really high, and then the shaft is not in the most efficient position. So when, let's say, you put the driver behind the ball or on the ground, the top of the driver has to have a pitch, like a rooftop, I call that. So it will be angled towards you.
Okay, it, yes.
To give a picture, the heel of the club, you know, the part of the club that is closer to you, will appear lower than the toe of the club.
Oh, this is so good. You know, I think everybody should take a lesson with Claude Brousseau and or on whatever island you're on, you know, and then and go through all of those baby steps so that you get a real good feeling for the club shaft, the club face, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
Good.
Because the idea, Danielle, is simplifying everything. They, you know, the company that are making those club, those engineer ladies and gentlemen, they, there is a reason they designed the club like this, to make it as efficient and as easier possible to use. But if, let's say, you start, I like to give example. It's just a knowledge. Let's say I never use a pen before. And, you know, there is a eraser at the top, a pencil. Let's say there is a eraser, you know, that pinkish thing at the top.
Yes.
Then let's say I hold that upside down and I try to write. Now, this is not designed to write. This is designed to erase something on the paper. So it's an extreme example. But when you help people to understand that, okay, you need to hold the cloth, hold the pencil that you know, black thing goes on the paper.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I didn't think of that because I was not knowledgeable enough.
Right. Exactly. And that's where going to a professional is really helpful. Just, you know, and if it, I know it gets pricey, but, you know, have a couple of lessons. They're wonderful. And sometimes people like Claude Brousseau will offer a group lesson, maybe three or four people max, so that
yes.
You know, everybody's together and there's a foursome. If you can get out your foursome and go on, and you'll just feel so much more confident. And I think golf is about confidence. Confidence in the way you hold the shaft, the way you set up the club. All of that is really important for you just not to have to think about when you're there. You just do it. And everything becomes so much more easy. Not
That's
stressful.
Correct, Danielle.
Yes.
Think of it. I understand it's an investment, but look at it. If you decide to have a hobby, you play golf for a hobby, let's say, or you can play golf for competing and trying to, you know, be the best you can. But you will, any hobby you do, you have to invest in it to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then think about it. If you play golf, for my oldest golfer this year, Danielle, was 98.
Oh.
The next one, 96. So think about it. These people and your listener will play golf for, let's say, 20, 30, 40 years. Making an investment at the beginning is the best thing you can do.
Yes.
I have this. Because it you will have more fun. You will understand why the ball goes where. And then it's not a random act. So you can coach yourself. That's the idea.
Yes, absolutely. And Claude Brousseau has to be on the practice range. He has a lesson. They're waiting for him. It's going to be at 8 o'clock. But I love these three food for thought. It isn't the number on the club that matters. It's the number of yards the ball flies, travels. That's from Claude. The best teachers are those who show you where to look, but don't tell you what to see. Alexandra Trenfor offered that one through Claude Brousseau. The secret of change is the focus of all your energy. You have to focus all your energy, not on fighting the old, but to building on the new. And that's from Socrates. My goodness. The secret of change is to focus all your energy, not on fighting the old, but to building on the new. Gosh, Claude, thank you. And from James Clear, we have, when you think you're too old to do something new, remember, you will never be younger than you are now. That's a beauty.
You see, Danielle, my goal in life and my purpose is helping people to realize their potential in a way that it's a fun learning experience. And when I read a lot, and I like those food for thought because it put things in perspective. And then golf for me, G-O-L-F, it's game of life first.
Right on.
G-O-L-F. then when you give thoughts like you just read, thank you for doing that, it helps people to understand, okay, It's a process. It's a journey. Let's have fun on it.
Yeah, exactly, because that's what it's all about. You're going to play a game. Games are fun.
Exactly, Danielle. Too many golfers forget that part.
Yes, I know. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy at Wailea Golf Club on Maui, author of Realize Your Golfing Potential, Unlock the Secrets of a Proficient Short Game, Vision 54 Coach, Aimpoint Certified. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with us this morning.
It's my pleasure, Danielle, and mili kiliki maka to your listener and your family. And again, thank you so much for giving me the privilege to share my love of this game with your listener.
Ah, it's my privilege. Thank you very much, Claude Brousseau. Mele kaliki maka. All right, we're coming back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Hey, you know what? Your appliances, they don't have to be, you know, replaced by a new thing and thrown out. Uh-uh. Who do you call when your home appliance isn't working? You call Pacific Repair Services, located at 540 Lagoon Drive. That's right across from JN Motors. PRS does repairs, maintenance, and sales. You call them at 808, of course, 736-4080. 736-4080. All right. Or you can find them on the line, on the web, at prscares.com. prscares.com. We fix, we maintain, and we sell refrigerators, stoves, microwaves, dishwashers. Fabulous prices, and another shipment just arrived. Rely on Pacific Repair Services, because your home appliances have to work.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at RadioGolfClub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
All right. Just a minute ago, we were on Maui. And now we're back on Oahu, and Kellen Asau, expert club fitter, a really good teacher, asaugolf.com is where you'll find him, is with us in the clubhouse to give us some of us, you know, on Oahu, a place to go to get better at what we do in the game of golf. Welcome into the clubhouse, Kellen.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. When did you start getting into the game of golf? How old were you?
Well, I got started in golf at the age of six. how we started back then, our dad just introduced us into the game, said, let's give it a shot. So we did. That's a lot different nowadays as far as how kids are brought up in the game of golf because of the opportunities they have with instructions, junior golf programs, development programs. We work with Casey McCombs Group to help with that. And then just through the years, growing up playing junior golf, playing high school, playing college, and then just always having a passion for golf.
Yeah. And do you know when the passion clicked in you? When you were six, probably not, but who knows?
Not really. When I first started, I wasn't very interested in it.
Yeah.
As most kids are, they want to, play the more active, fun sports like baseball. So it wasn't until I started playing some tournaments around nine or 10, and then that's when it actually clicked pretty quick from there.
Yeah.
I grew a passion. I kind of stopped playing baseball a few years later and just focused on golf. I played other sports just to try it, but my main focus was always golf from about 10 years old.
Yeah. It's really satisfying. The game is really satisfying. Did your dad teach you everything?
Yeah, so my dad taught me, and just growing up, we had the, I would say, luxury of having, contact with local golf pros, just to mention, Casey Nakama, somebody that I really looked up to, and he was a big mentor to me growing up, and I'm proud to say that, was Lance Suzuki, just being able to contact them whenever we needed help or just advice.
Awesome. It's a family. It really is. You find in the world of golf, you find yourself in families. It's a really comforting place to be. It's really nice. So you are an expert club fitter. Did you learn that as you went along, or is there a way to go to a school, or how does that work?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways of doing it. For me, I was a very nosy child growing up. So when people would work on my clubs, I would kind of be peeking over their shoulder, asking questions and whatnot, and kind of learning here and there through the process. That's kind of how it all started. I'm getting training from fittings and whatnot through certain manufacturers is the way that I did it. It was once I started to open up accounts through my shop.
Yeah.
So certain products such as Callaway, they opened their doors to certify us as fitters. So that's how it became a fitting process. And then just club building was kind of being that nosy kid learning from people working on my clubs.
When I don't have a clue what I'm asking you right now, but I was thinking of the shaft of the club. Is there a special way of making that shaft?
There's all different types of shafts, and through that fitting process is where we determine what shaft would fit the golfer.
Mm.
We use TrackMan and Full Swing for our launch monitors to get all that data that we would pass on to our customer during the fitting. The shaft itself is very personal to the golfer and their swing. So a lot of times we have customers come into the shop and they say, my friend has this shaft, I want to get it. And I usually recommend to them, I'll always set up an appointment, we'll go through the fitting process, because within that shaft there might be different characteristics that might not match you. We can find out that through the process. Shafts are very, once you start getting into it, they're very tricky as far as the characteristics of it, different launch angles, different kick points, different spin rates, different weights. So all of those play different factors as far as going through that fitting process.
Oh, that's really good to know. Where do we find you, Kellen?
We are located now at the Newtown Driving Range. We have a little shop there, and then we do our fittings on the range, our lessons on the range under Casey Nakama.
Excellent. So that's on Kahele Street in Aiea?
Yes.
Right on.
98330 Kahele Street.
98330 Kahele Street, Aiea. Yeah, yes. And their phone number, by the way, is 808-487-1217. 487-1217. Of course, an 808 in Vinny. We know that, right?
Yes.
we've been branded. I'm kind of like our 808. I think that's pretty cool. What brand of clubs do you feature?
We sell Callaway, TaylorMade, Titleist, and Chicks on Cleveland. We focus more on our fittings with Callaway and TaylorMade. We have their full fitting part there to fit customers with their clubs.
Oh, that's cool. Now, how long does a fitting last? Do you come back out?
A fitting typically takes about an hour. It just depends. Some people want a full bag fitting, so that could take a little longer than an hour. If they're focusing on just an iron or just woods, an hour will be more than enough time for us to get some data and make a good recommendation.
Excellent. And if you saw a club, you're working with their clubs, I'm assuming, the people who bring in their bag?
So some people want to stick with their irons, so we'll find shafts and try it out. Some people want to get brand new clubs, so we'll test it, compare it to their clubs, and make that recommendation as far as if the club is performing better, what benefits they'll get from it and whatnot.
Yeah, and maybe you can tell them, hey, this one really isn't that bad.
Yeah, we have that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes we're just blaming, which is Mother Nature inside of us. It's the club's fault. It's not me, right? So it's good to have someone say, well, I get how you feel, but... if you just did this little change, and I bet some of those are really little changes.
Yes, definitely. And, sometimes that's where I need to kind of differentiate between my fittings and my lessons. I always tend to want to go and creep towards teaching. That's what I've been doing for a while. And, it's hard. So I'll ask the customer, do you mind if I give you a little tip, because sometimes, it's just something to fix, like a grip, your stance, just alignment and whatnot. And we don't have to spend hundreds of dollars in altering the equipment when we can just spend about 10 minutes just tweaking something and it'll change a lot.
Yeah, perfect. That is so perfect. We just, is you're holding a club and sideways on the range, it's like not natural.
Definitely.
Right? And so we do the best we can in this very awkward sort of stance, but usually it's completely not going to work the way that you want it to work, So that's, I'm so glad that you can, help people get it together so that they can actually use their clubs, and they've made the investment already, and you can help. Like, when is it time to tune up the clubs?
When we talk about that, as far as like regripping or just checking, specs on the clubs, we usually tell people it's about every year. Grips typically, they start to wear after a year. Some irons, when you bend them, just hitting in Hawaii, always being off of mats for, I would say, 90% of the ranges can affect the lie angle and the loft of clubs, especially forged clubs. So it's very important, I would say, especially for the guys that are competing a lot in tournaments. It's very important to check those probably every year, because it can move.
Yeah.
So you want to be, dialing in as far as loft, a degree being your iron being off by 1 degree in the loft, it could affect it 3-4 yards sometimes. So that's big for, you know, the higher end tournament golfers.
Thank you. And so we've been talking a lot about the clubs. How about the putters? What's hot now? Is there some putter out that does it better than anybody else's? Right.
That's a tricky question. But I know that a lot of people start to see putters being used on tour.
Yeah.
And, everybody's going to want to try it. A big one is Lab Golf. They focus on, they call it like a zero torque putter. They do have that available in a lot of the bigger, more well-known companies, I would say. So like Callaway has an Odyssey putter that has a zero torque. TaylorMade has one that's called a zero torque. Titleist, actually, Scotty Cameron also has one.
Wow.
The zero torque is just to help, yeah, kind of stabilize the face from spinning or oscillating, basically. It just helps them keep it more square. So I would say putters are hard and tricky because they're so personal. It's a club that you have to like, you know, you have to get along with. I think it's just something like that. Yeah.
I love how you say that because it's so true.
Yes.
I enjoy the stance of putting. When you stand over, it's like you have a better chance of getting that ball in the hole if you get to be that close and you get to bend over and look at the ground. You know, it's like there's just something much, and then, you know, you kind of get a feel for how that is going to roll. It's fun. Putting can be a lot of fun.
Yes.
Putty can also be horrible.
Yes. It goes both ways.
It does, right? And so what do you suggest for people who are, you know, constantly angry with their putter?
You know, for me, it's different. You know, I have a few customers, a bunch of friends. They'll try a new putter. Some of them weekly. So we'll go back and forth. For me, once I find a putter, yeah, I don't like to change it. There's a particular look and feel that I prefer. And, you know, like golf, there's good days and there's bad days. But I feel like if I just stick with it and I figure it out and get a feel for it, I think it's going to, long term, it'll be better for me. Don't get me wrong. We love the customers that come in and try everything. But I think it just takes a lot of hours on the green to get comfortable with that putter.
Yeah, and if it's not working one day, and it works, you know, like it did the day before, it's not necessarily the club's fault. I think people sometimes like blame the whole club, like it's working against you. The thing is gonna. I wish that were the case, but unfortunately, you know, we have good days and we have bad days, and that has a big part to a big part of that. And we are KORL Waianae, Honolulu. So I was just wondering if there's anything that you wanted to talk about that I haven't given you an opportunity to get out there.
Just with our shop, you know, we like to call ourselves a one-stop shop. You know, we offer a full-service repair, regripping, extending, you know, just reshafting, anything that you need done to your clubs, we do it there. We also do lessons and fitting. So myself, Shane Hoshino, we are both golf pros locally. We've been teaching I've been teaching since 2009.
Wow.
It's just, you know, there's a lot of, I would say, golf experience within our shop. And we like to be able to have everything done in one place. We're not the biggest shop, but we're pretty small. But we like to say that we can accommodate most needs, if not all.
That's
all
nice.
Golfers.
That's nice. I like that. A lot. And someone posed this question that I absolutely have to ask you. Do $10,000 shafts make your ball go straighter or farther?
No. But I do believe that finding the right staff and the combination with the chef and the club head, it does make a big difference as far as just overall performance.
Yeah. You want to say that one more time?
No, $10,000 chefs will not make that big of a difference.
It's not how much money you put into it. You know, that's it. Boy, as soon as I get my my body back together again, it seems to be presenting me with some interesting challenges. I want to come over and see you, Kellen Asau, expert club fitter, a really good teacher. And if you'd like to, you're at asaugolf.com too, right? You have a website?
Yes, it's still under maintenance, but best way to contact us is through the shop phone number, or my email is owner@asaugolf.com.
Okay. So I've got 808-487-1217. That's the phone number. And could you repeat the email? How do we get, we can get there?
The email?
Yeah.
Yes, it's owner, O-W-N-E-R, @asaugolf.com.
That is great. Owner. So easy to remember that. The guy owns the place. Owner at asaugolf. Okay. Thank you. .com, right? That .com's got to be at the end there.
Yes. .com, yes.
Yes, asaugolf.com. So owner at asao, A-S-A-O, golf.com. Gee, it's been fun. Thank you so much, Kellen, for being on the show, and you'll be back, I hope.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Right on. Okay, I look forward to the next time. We're coming back. We're going to go now. We're back on Maui. Yeah. Uh-huh. We're going back to Maui right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Hey, and I just got to do a shout-out. Cassandra, so glad you are happy. She went to Pacific Repair Services after she won her microwave. And everything is hunky-dory and so happy. Cassandra, thank you for listening to being with me in the morning, having fun on a Saturday morning. Now, it's Aloha Power's week-long steel sale, S-T-I-H-L, not like the steel, but steel. It's time to retire those big box tools. Maybe a couple of them have been used a little bit more than others. Yes. Steel is on sale, up to 25% off. Riding and walking mowers, chainsaws, whackers, trimmers, and a whole lot more. So we have service, parts, accessories for every rider. And so from home to commercial sized, doesn't matter. Mow it, blow it, bag it, and you're done. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Iwilei, next to the Costco gas station, also in Waipahu. That's Aloha Power Equipment.
Who do you call when your home appliance isn't working? Pacific Repair Services. Pacific Repair Services, located at 540 Lagoon Drive across from JN Motors. PRS does repairs, maintenance, and sales. Call us at 808-736-4080 or find us on the web at prscares.com. We fix, maintain, and sell refrigerators, stoves, microwaves, and dishwashers at fabulous prices. Rely on Pacific Repair Services, because your home appliances have to work. What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Iéa. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And I'm so excited to have Pate Clarkson, the Sports Information Director, Troon, Hawaii, Pearl at Kalaau'au, and Ka'anapali Golf Courses. Welcome into the clubhouse, Pate.
Aloha, Danielle. It's always a pleasure to be with you, and happy holidays.
Hey, thank you. It's coming up soon, isn't it? We're in Christmas shopping.
Blink of an eye.
Blink of an eye. I got to go run. So this is awesome. Tell us about what Ka'anapali has donated.
For the third consecutive year, Ka'anapali Golf Courses has made a donation to the University of Hawaii Athletic Department, in particular the men's and women's golf teams. So this year, Ka'anapali is proud to announce that they've donated a total of $10,000, $5,000 to the men's program and $5,000 to the women's program.
That's how do they use that money usually? What is the need?
Well, as you know, living in Hawaii, funding for travel is really critical, and especially for student athletes making numerous treks across the Pacific. So it's used for a combination of travel expenses, lodging, equipment, really everything that helps make the engines run for the golf programs. And just looking at it from 30,000 feet, it really makes the experience more enjoyable for the student athletes at Hawaii when they know that their expenses are taken care of and they can focus solely on being the best form of player that they can.
Yeah, and in some homes, there wouldn't be, they wouldn't have the affordability. I mean, it's going to the big island, big island, yes, to the mainland. That's no inexpensive undertaking, and it's sometimes it's just not affordable for a lot of folks. And so this is fantastic. You know, it's just wonderful. Now, the 2025 Ka'anapali Classic and the Dr. Donis Thompson Invitational, two of America's marquee men's and women's college golf tournaments. I didn't realize that. Tell us more about it.
Well, for the fourth time in a row and the sixth time overall, Oklahoma has won this year's Ka'anapali Classic. They're one of the preeminent programs in all of America. Every year, they have players that go on to compete professionally, whether it's on the Corn Ferry Tour, the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour. They don't rebuild. They just reload every year with incredible talent. And they held off TCU, Georgia, and a number of other high-profile programs. So to have that type of marquee action take place in the islands annually in West Maui is really a treat, not only for the golf course, but for those who live on the island, particularly those with young children who can bring them out and give them role models and, and watch their games up close in person and give them something to aspire to. And then on the women's side every year, we also are proud to host an event for Coach Brooks and her team that usually takes place in the spring. This year, Washington was able to come away with the title, another marquee program on the women's side, and they held off Gonzaga. So a lot of exciting action, and we're thrilled to be a part of it.
I love this. It's fantastic, the support that goes out to the kids and to the families and everybody coming together. Because as you mentioned in your notes to me, you know, the funding for travel is a critical need for student athletes because they get exposure to these other programs that gives them more information. It's really important for them to have that information. Don't you find that your kids grow from the exposure of going out into the world and meeting new people and playing on their turf?
Absolutely. It's similar to the classroom experience for these student athletes where they can learn a lot in the classroom, but nothing can really replicate the in-person experiences that they have. And in this case, being able to see these athletes in person is incredible. As we've talked before on your program, you know, a lot of clubs across the country will almost check the box when hosting these events. But Troon Hawaii's clubs really go above and beyond, and we take pride in hosting Hawaii's men's and women's programs because it enables them to stay closer to home, which reduces their travel time and away from school. It also gives a lot of their fans and family who live nearby an opportunity to see them more frequently. And furthermore, we just feel that it's the right thing to do to support them, not only monetarily, but also with tee times. So anything that we can do to help, you know, the University of Hawaii's programs and others, whether it's HPU or many of the high school teams, we're happy to do so.
Excellent. You're wonderful. And then I needed to ask you, who is Indigo Sports?
Indigo Sports is a division of Troon, previously known as Billy Casper Golf.
Ah, yes.
Before switching to the Indigo name and now under the Troon umbrella.
Right on. Okay, so big mahalo to Ka'anapali and Indigo Sports for their sincere generosity, not only for this donation, but for their consistent year-round support. That was from Scott Simpson. And how long has Scott been involved?
Scott's been leading the Rainbow Warriors for a couple years now. You know, he has a decorated playing career on the PGA Tour, winning the U.S. Open. So for not only the current roster of players, but for folks who were thinking about coming to UH, to have a coach with the type of his experience and caliber is really incredible. You know, you talk Chris Salem went to Maui Prep and now a freshman at UH. When you speak with his parents, I mean, they were thrilled at the opportunity for their son to learn under Coach Simpson in the same vein that many of the women feel about learning under Coach Brooks. You know, she's been in the industry for a really long time, and we're just really excited that they're leading their respective programs because their trajectory continues to be on the up and up as they get a little bit better each year.
Wow. And don't we have a pretty amazing championship coming up in April of this coming year?
We do. It's going to be really exciting. You know, speaking of championships, the UH men's team in particular, you know, Anson Cabello just qualified for the 2026 Sony Open in Hawaii.
Woo!
And we have Chris Salem, I just referenced, he just won the Hawaii State Open. So a lot of these players that we're seeing today really have an opportunity to be the stars of tomorrow.
Yes.
Which is why it's imperative that we give them the resources and support today so we can continue to watch and cheer them on in the years ahead.
Right on. And so what is this, the Big West Women's Golf Championship?
The Big West Women's Golf Championship, for the very first time, it's going to be held in Maui at Ka'anapali. It's going to feature every team from the Big West Conference, the women's teams. It's going to be a multi-day event, and the winner of this oftentimes has a pretty good pathway into the NCAA postseason.
Ooh.
So this will be the best of the best, not only the teams, but in particular the individuals. So if you are a parent who you know, has a young daughter and is interested in coming out in April to Ka'anapali, we would love to have you so they can see these incredible women compete on a championship course.
That's great. That's fantastic. And, hey, didn't you folks get an award, your Facility of the Year, West Region? Tell us about that.
Yes, thank you for asking. As you had referenced, Billy Casper Golf, now Indigo Sports, has properties all across the West Coast and in the Hawaiian Islands. Ka'anapali was thrilled to be named the Facility of the Year, and this looks at a combination of metrics, whether it's operational performance, feedback from guests, customer satisfaction, funds that are generated for charity, and being an active member of the community, and a plethora of other items that are reviewed when looking at all these courses and determining a winner. So we feel honored. It's really an award for the community and for the islands, you know, particularly after the wildfires when mm-hmm. there was so much uncertainty in the air for everyone. We feel like this is just as much an award for the community as it is for us.
Yeah, and if you know, every Saturday we give out tee times about what's available for folks who like to go play on Maui. And I just was about Maui's Ka'anapali golf courses, built on 300 acres of land. And you've got just the most fantastic vistas beautiful panorama views of Lanai, Molokai, the ocean, of course, West Maui Mountains. It's absolutely fantastic. Robert Trent Jones Sr. Is the guy behind most of those golf courses, isn't he?
Correct.
Yeah, 1962. So it's and we've had some amazing tournaments on those courses. And Pate, it's really cool having you on the show to talk about. Which one would you go to if you were had somebody that was just starting out in the game? Which golf course would you choose to take them to at Ka'anapali?
There are two courses, the Royal and Mackay. The Royal is the championship course that hosts many of these premier events that we've discussed. The Mackay is a little bit more player-friendly. That's geared towards juniors, those that maybe don't hit the ball quite as far as they used to. It's very easy to get around, and it still has a plethora of magnificent views. So the Mackay course is a great place to learn how to tee it up and really hone your game. And then once you feel confident you can hit it a little bit further, the Royal course will be ready for you.
You're right on. it's good for folks to know which one. Which one should I go to? It's a Royal. It sounds really cool. Yeah, but maybe you want to wait until you've gone through a couple of courses before you take on the big ones. Thank you so much.
Well, I don't know about you, but I like making birdies more than bogeys.
Yeah.
So I'll go wherever I can score.
Yes, sir. I am totally in agreement with you, sir. Pate Clarkson, thank you so much. Sports Information Director, Troon, Hawaii, Pearl at Kalaauau, and Ka'anapali Golf Courses. Thanks a lot. Aloha.
Aloha, Danielle.
We're going to, of course, be back with you next Saturday when, of course, we will be, the show will run. It will be a best of show because, of course, we're all going to be doing family affairs because it's that time of year when that's what we do. All right. I just want to say thank you to all the people who make this show possible for me to be able to do. Since 1999. How is it possible that many years has gone by? Okay, we welcome Pacific Repair Services, located at 540 Lagoon Drive, across from JN Motors. PRS does repairs, maintenance, and sales. You can call them at 808-736-4080, or go online, PRSCares.com, because, you know, we fix, maintain, and sell refrigerators, stoves, microwaves, dishwashers at fabulous prices. And it just so happens a new shipment arrived yesterday. And welcome the Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before your round, wind down after work. The Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. That's good golf, good food, and good fun. It's Aloha Power's week-long celebration. Work smarter, faster, easier. They've got the riding or walking mowers. They got the chainsaws, the whackers, and a whole lot more. And steel is up to 25% off. And get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment. They're open Monday through Saturday in Iwilei, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu, you know, Farrington Highway, you're going in that westbound direction. You'll see the big sign right by Waipahu Depot Street. You'll go, oh, my. So you just go a little bit further, you make a U-turn, and then you're in. Right. Okay. And the Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf. It is a gift that lasts forever for self, health, friendship, family, go golf. And Claude Russo, Master PGA Teaching Professional at the Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea, Maui. I want to thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name's Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2025.